Blog Talk Radio.
Where not just women are in danger, but all marginalized people. Where being uniquely different right now might truly be considered a crime. It seems as though we had all slipped into a false sense of comfort, that justice would prevail and that good would win in the end. Well, good did not win this election, but good will win in the end. So what today means is that we are far from the end. Today marks the beginning of our story. The revolution starts here. The fight for the right to be free, to be who we are, to be equal. Let's march together through this darkness, and with each step, know that we are not afraid. That we are not alone. That we will not back down. That there is power in our unity, and that no opposing force stands a chance in the face of true solidarity. And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything.
Austin Red here with Friday Java, a weekly magazine of political theory, polling, and commentary. It is part of the people history called people that make up this fascinating journey. We are part of the Obama Network. For that, we make no apologies. What we pledge to do is give you the facts on a bridge to history, what body politics is, the most up-to-date theories of political science and psychology. Stay tuned for this incredible ride. Austin Red, peace out. On the 18th of January, 2019. Friday Java, our magazine program, and as we normally do, we have the crystal ball here. That is from the University of Virginia at Charlottesville, and we honor Heber Heyer, who was murdered in Charlottesville, Virginia, by white supremacists. The same white supremacists that the Congress type from Sioux City area in Iowa, King, boast of their presence and of Western civilization and their relationship to quote-unquote Western civilization. Well, we don't doubt that, but he's been censored by the Republican Party and stripped of his committee positions. Now, that is a normal thing, and some had said, well, why is the representative from the city of Detroit, Risha, not been scrutinized by the House of Representatives because she supports her Palestinian people? Well, it's a totally different situation here. She's supporting Palestinian people in their rights, and they're under attack, being murdered in the streets, being forced that even the apartheid and Jim Crow characters in the southern sector of the U.S. did not force people to take different streets. They may have had different water fountains for blacks and for whites in the U.S. and different passports and living conditions in South Africa under apartheid. Well, this is the same situation. So when one speaks out against it, is a matter of politics, period. It's not a matter of speech, it's a matter of politics. That's what she was sent to. She has a legendary seat of John Conyers Jr. out of Detroit. and that is a legendary seat. Now, for the corporate media that would like to drive nails between progressive people like Rashida and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out of the Bronx, those are something that you'd see. I saw Alexandria spoke out against the racist machinations of CBS News and how they plan to cover this political season. There were no African-Americans there, or followers of O.J. Simpson, as we refer to here. Now, these are things that have to be brought out. And we see that coming. Some notes here on our coverage. We'll be covering the Women's March, and we'll get to it in a minute. Some of the controversy that the corporate media and various other destructive forces around are trying to divide these women up. The Women's March is a grassroots march, and you, on Friday Jobber, we have Madonna and her original recording from the first Women's March, and we'll talk about that. And the march was there, and the women came the Saturday on the inaugural of DJ Trump. And DJ Trump tried to claim he had more people than he was, and he was exposed for the lie. They had hundreds of thousands of people that came to Washington, but that was just part of the story. There were speakers, yes, and there were leadership from people of color. They had Linda Sasseur, the Palestinian lady, one of those, and our own Mallory. Mallory used to be an official at the National Action Center, and she had been in progressive politics in New York, and in particular in African-American struggles, trained under the national leader, Dr. Al Sharpton, not hiding from anything. And because she would not condemn Louis Farrakhan, who is 85 years old, has been around a very, very long time. Everyone knows who he is. They know what he has to say on many, many issues, including the Palestinian issue and other issues. Now, this goes back to what the body politic is, and in different communities it is there. Now, people to use that as a wedge, they'll just use it as a wedge. We have to understand that politics, if anything, is a takeaway from 2016, is that the politics of grassroots, the politics particularly of the followers of O.J. Simpson, has even come to a new maturity. We started a maturity when Jesse Jackson ran for president twice in his 88 campaign. Incidentally, in that 88 campaign, one of the people that bankrolled it was no other than DJ Trump himself. So he's been around a long time. But what that did was, and we also go back to our sister Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman to run for president. And all those campaigns add up, Jesse's campaign. And then, of course, Al Sharpton himself ran for president. Most people don't remember that. But that set the stage of a Barack Obama out of the south side of Chicago. Literally a community organizer, a civil rights attorney, and a scholar. Now, the corporate media and the various white supremacy organizations came out with the phony birth certificate issue. DJ Trump championed that, and of course he went in latter days to the transcript. That didn't go very far. But some of these characters that were in the so-called conspiracy theory there, the birthers, what do you want to call those characters, Corsi and some of those guys, and now are down at the special prosecutor's office. They were lies, but the lies themselves could have not been, as they say, fanned if not for the participation of corporate media. These are the same people that are trying to savage the Women's March and separate the people out of there that have been productive in their grassroots. As Madonna says, some people dismissed that march as nothing, but what happened there, it was more than just a one-day march. It was a grassroots effort that people went back into their communities and organized, and now we have more women in Congress than ever. That was a positive event coming out of that march. Now, they'll be there tomorrow in Washington. Today, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will be leading people where they will be going door-to-door. In the Senate, they were trying to find old man McConnell. I guess he was hiding under the desk. But these things need to be done, and it shows the maturity of people. So they will march, and they will have marches in other cities. They won't have one in Chicago because they let these destructive forces divide the women up. We'll get to that in a minute. But they will, and of course we'll be covering the women's march later on Saturday. We'll still have the week that was. We'll talk more about that. And as we move along with the progressive efforts, we're also looking at the calendar here. We'll be covering the World Economic Forum. That's in Davos, the Davos, Switzerland activity. DJ Trump and his henchmen and henchwomen are not going to it, which is a good thing. They'll be staying here. And he decided that he'd not let Nancy Pelosi and company have an American plane to fly to Brussels and some other stops because they closed down his State of the Union. Well, he's in for the run. There's no doubt about that. This is a new time. And what we've seen is in the issue of CBS trying to go back to some of the old annex to marginalize people in of color, and at the same time, in particular, followers of O.J. Simpson. We have news for them, as Jesse was talking about it. When you get into states like Florida, the followers of O.J. Simpson, the African people in Florida, almost elected a governor. Came very, very close. Now, that's monumental in Florida. The same thing in Georgia. And that is a political power, and it's an evolutionary situation. There will be more political power coming. And just because of these destructive forces want to blunt the situation, yes, they can blunt the situation, but there's a rule in politics that if you decide that you are going to exclude certain people from your political party or whatever, that's a matter of politics. But you don't come around later and ask them for their votes. That is just simply not permissible. That's something that you do not do. And that was bearing fruit. If you have any takeaway from 2016, that happened. They mistreated Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders voters either did not vote. Some of them did vote for DJ Trump. Others voted for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. And that is the way it went. And in some states, in Philadelphia, in Milwaukee, there was a conscious decision on the part of African Americans to not vote. And thus the state of Wisconsin went to DJ Trump. And now DJ Trump and his henchmen and henchwomen now are trying to figure out how they can get as close to 10% of the African-American vote on the followers of O.J. Simpson as they can. So this is a new age, a new day in how voting is being done. And if you want to use the same old tactics, we just use the same old tactics. We in the progressive community don't have time to run around envying these people, having hatred with these characters. If they want to stick to business as they ran in 1968 or we don't want to talk about 1980 or 84, especially 84 with what happened to poor old Walter Mondale. But what we will say is that if you want to use those scenarios, as it seems the Democratic Party tries to get to it, the Democrats are on the run. What are they on the run for there? If they're scared, well, if we go a little bit too far to the left, the people won't vote for us. That's folly. one of the things was demonstrated in 2016, that Bernie Sanders had been the standard bearer of the Democratic Party, he would now be in the White House. And since the Democratic Party went in a different direction, yes, it was a close election, but at the same time, many of the people that voted for Barack Obama two times, not one time, two times, went along with DJ Trump because they figured they could get some jobs. And what happened with DJ Trump, he went from some of his positions being quote-unquote the middle of the road to extreme right-wing positions and an anti-worker campaign. You see this in the shutdown. These are things that happen with these right-wing populists. And this is a situation now that people face. So the corporate media figured, well, we'll take advantage of this. We'll come up with some type of Bill Clinton-type candidate in the final analysis, and the people will have to go with that. Or they'll go with DJ Trump, or they'll go with Pence, or whomever. Genghis Khan, or you name it, could be running on the Republican ticket. So in other words, the people won't have a choice or a preference. It'll be as is what happened in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. That is what happened in Florida. The election was stolen in Florida. The election was stolen in Georgia using voter suppression. All kinds of tricks going on there. So there needs to be a time to get to a little bit of unity. Enough with this from WBRN Radio and on the Boston Red Network. We'll move on with Friday Jobber here. This is, of course, Boston Red from the Jerry Pippen broadcast booth. The crystal ball, this is Carl Klondike. He is the managing editor of Sabatos Crystal Ball. The title here is House 2020. Initial ratings here. We won't spend a lot of time on this, but they give out the key takeaways. Democrats start the cycle favored to hold the House majority, but a Republican presidential victory would open up the door to Republicans restoring total control in Washington. Overall, equal numbers of Democrats, 47 and 46 Republican districts, begin the cycle listed in our ratings as toss-up leans and so forth and so on. Presidential friends and needs of Democrats, both where they have been and where they may be going, were a major factor in the ratings. And we'll look at some of the Republicans here. Rob Woodall, he's in Georgia 7. These are toss-ups. Somebody named Dan Beacon, that's in Nebraska, I think that's Nebraska 2. And North Carolina would be 9 and vacant. Fitzpatrick, that's come up before, that's PA 1. And Will Hurd in Texas 23. And there are a bunch of lean Republicans. We won't go over many of these. This Ann Wagner, she's in Missouri 2. Fred Upton, that is Michigan 6. He could be going bye-bye. And let's see who else here. We just a smidgen of these birds that leans Republican. Pete Olson, that's a Texas one. There's a few Texas seats up here, and somebody, Lynn Zeldin in New York 1. I'm not familiar with that district. In out in Alaska, that's old Don Young. He'll be there until he literally kicks the bucket. And French Hill, I'm not sure. That is in Arkansas, too. Not familiar with them. Duncan Hunter, who was indicted, that is California 5. This is likely Republican. And Nunez, that's California 22. There's few Republicans holding on. And Diaz-Balart, that is in Florida. Yeah, well, he's in. And they even list this King guy, that's Iowa 4. It'd be very interesting to see how he fares this time around in Iowa. And Peter King, he's been out there on Long Island for a very long time. That's New York 2. These are all likely characters. And with the Democrats, some toss-ups here. Frankenhauser. That is Iowa 1, not for me with Hamilton at all. Jay Gold, that is, is that Maine or Maryland? Anyway, one or the other. And Andy Kim, that is in Jersey 3, that's a toss-up. And Torres Small, that's in New Mexico. Max Rose, that's in a New York one. Kendra Horn, okay, that is Oklahoma 5, I think that is in Oklahoma City. And we have Cunningham, the South Carolina 1. These are toss-ups here. Ben McAdams, that is a seat that they picked up off of Love, Representative Love, the African-American out in Utah 4. Leans Democrat, won't go over all of these. Lucy McBeth, Georgia 6. And Angie Craig, that's Minnesota 2, at Leans Democrat. Peterson, that's another Minnesota district. He's been around a very, very long time. A moderate Democrat there in Minnesota. And our buddy Spangenberg, she's Virginia 7. She just picked up that district. She'll get reelected if she runs. We more or less can take that one to the bank. And some of the likely ones here, Katie Hill, that's in California 25. Katie Porter, California 45, yeah. Charlie DeTuna Chris, that's Florida 13. Donna Shalea, that's Florida 27. She's safe. Sherry Boutos, that's in Illinois 17. She's been reelected there. And Custer, she's in New Hampshire 2. Susan Maloney, Maloney is in New York 18. And Ron Kine, he's in Wisconsin 3. These are the likely ones here. O'Halloran, that's Arizona 1. On the Democratic side, just a few of these that are actually toss-up elections. And a lot of this would depend on how the president is running in some of these very, very red states. Our take on this, it's a little bit early to even try to handicap these. We really don't know how things are going. Let's see what their comment on here. Stephen King, that's Iowa 4, who's rhetoric, etc. Well, he's been, as they say, chastised. It endangered him in 2018 despite his dark red district. He'll face a couple of primary challenges and will just remove from his committee assignments. He's one of the ones here, Walter Jones, he's been around a long time. He's a Republican in North Carolina, has a popular streak, not necessarily in the, I guess what's called the Freedom Caucus. I don't think he's in that. Duncan Hunter, is he still on the indictment? We don't know. That's California 50. He did get reelected there. That's a very Republican district there in California. The most vulnerable seats on both sides are the ones that generally were very close in 2018 and will likely voters from the other parties, presidential now anyway, are both. The 10 Democratic toss-ups, all districts, first-time Democrats presumably will be seeking a second term. Some of them will be actually seeking those. A lot of that will depend on if they are suburban, extra-burb. Two of the three remaining, Hillary Clinton, one district's held by Republicans. That is PA 1, Texas 23. Both were decided by close margins. And I believe that one I heard is the ex-CIA agent, is an African-American, one of very few Republicans in the House of Representatives. Sort of a different kind there. Anyway, so generally speaking, the ratings reflect both were a district where the presidential levels and where might be going in 2020. Our best guess is that districts are diverse or that have higher than average levels of four-year college attainment. Me, I would change much or will continue to get worse for the Republicans. There's no doubt about that. There is a lot of changes going there. We thought the 2018 result generally in reinforcing these trends and Crystal Ball. I'm reading his book. I just about read Professor Amowitz's book out there, and they do have him. He'll be back again talking basically about what's happening out in some of the districts, think that the basic framework and the ratings might make more sense, even if you still disagree with them. Well, so-so. No big disagreements there, but a lot of things can change. Looking at some of the Republicans, there are really very, very few. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 that are in the toss-up. Will Hurd, he's in 23, but that was very, very close. There are more Democrats that are in toss-ups, but they go from New Jersey to Maine to Iowa. I'm not sure about Iowa 1. Max Rose, that's New York 11. So these upstate New York districts here, 19, 22, 11. And Kendra Horn, that's that central Oklahoma district there. In South Carolina, you can think about that. Ben McAdams, that's nothing new. There used to be another fellow that the Crystal Ball, I can't think of his name right now, used to sponsor. He was one of these Blue Dog or whatever kind of dog Democrats out in Utah. He held a seat there for a number of years, and Love finally knocked him off. But not as McAdams is a middle-of-the-road Democrat. Not a lot coming out of there. But these upstate New York districts we'll be watching is 1, 11, 22, 19 upstate New York. New Mexico, I'm not sure where Torres Small is in New Mexico second. We'll get more back to it later. Let's go to the Women's March. This is an interesting article here. I thought perhaps it was a little bit different. But made history by a perspective, it says. The Women's March is riddled with divisions. Well, life is too. But it doesn't mean feminism is in a crisis. So I guess it's written from a little different perspective here. Lauren Hemesker. Hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Anyway, tomorrow, hundreds of thousands of women expected to participate in the third annual Women's March. Yes, we'll be in January. Maybe some snow left on the ground, D.C. Since inception in 2017, it's been dogged by accusations that it doesn't speak for all women. African-American women have accused European women. I'm changing this from black to European. They get a little bit more precise here. Of showing a little concern for issues that have long affected women of a color and as mass incarceration. Well, we've heard more about that. Higher material death rates, the organization Solidarity with Palestinians, Meeker Mallory's, a refusal to disavow the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and they call him anti-Semitic here. Anyway, the organization's organizers report the comments that Jewish people bore special responsibility for oppressing women of color and all, and have all raised a concern among Jewish women of anti-Semitism. That's an old line thing there. I was looking at something today where also it's that people that actually know about it, very low percentage now, but they've taken it out of the history book. Of course, places like Texas, not only it, Dr. King has disappeared. But others identify as feminists have felt excluded by the march's emphasis on abortion right principle. No, that's just a weird situation there. But pundits, news outlets have portrayed these differences as signs that the women march and perhaps 21st century feminism is doomed to failure. Wishful thinking there. Yet history has shown that this is not true. Since the early 19th century, the women's movement in the U.S. has broken along lines of race, class, age, religion. Yet strategic coalitions amongst feminists have generated important victories for women's rights, showing us that divisions within the Women March do not represent extreme threats to the feminist movement. You really don't even hear the word feminism very much anymore. Decades before the Civil War, now this is going back to the suffragettes, only a very few radical Americans supported women's rights, including the right to own property and to vote. Frederick Douglass was one that did. In 1848, that was before the Civil War, attendees at the first major women's convention clearly tweaked the language of the Declaration of Independence, proclaiming all women, all men and women are created equal. But in the years after the Civil War, those who wrote those words, Elizabeth Candy Stanton, abandoned African American women, as they known black women, by opposing the 15th Amendment, which granted African males, black men, what do you want to call it, the right to vote. The amendment allowed free slaves in the South to elect governments that protected black male and women from the horrors of Southern racism. Needlessly, Stanton, who believed that activists should hold out for universal suffrage, which they got in the early 1900s, should put aside, could not put aside her humiliation at being beaten to the ballot box by African men. Well, it was a different situation. And yet Stanton's opposition to the 15th Amendment put her in a minority amongst the suffragists, or suffragettes as they were called. In 1866, black and white women united, and men founded the American Rights Association, which demanded equal rights irrespective of race, color, creed, or sex. In New York, members collected thousands of signatures in support of women's suffrage and removed the property requirements of disenfranchised African Americans at the time. Divisions within the suffrage movement in the early 1900s also invoked conflict in the women's movement today. European women dominated the vote because they wanted parity with their husbands and brothers. African women championed the vote because they wanted to fight racial discrimination. Working class women called for the vote to push for wages, hours, and safety laws. The coalition came up against a vocal contingent of wealthy women opposed to women's suffrage, unable to imagine the horrors of lynching and poverty, the anti-suffrage envisaged the vote itself as a menace to the home, I suppose so. To secure support in the Jim Crow South, white activists marginalized their black sisters. Well, they're trying to do that again today. With African Americans, they're owned by securing the passage of the 19th Amendment. European women abandoned African women, Native American, and Asian women to race-based disenfranchisement laws. The situation is different today. For one, the numbers are increasing in the so-called people of color because they've added new people, particularly in the Asian sector. Fugitives also appeared in the feminist movement in the 60s and 70s. In 1966, The Feminist Mystique, that was by Betty Friedan, co-founded the National Organization for Women. It used to be a much stronger organization than it is today. Anyway, helped draft its founded statement calling for true equality for all women. Friedan, a word that cooperating with mannish lesbians would stigmatize the organization, so she severed the group's ties with lesbians, even deleting from the program the first Congress to Unite Women of all references to a lesbian organization. For Dan, all women did not include the lesbians. Not sure why they brought this one up, but anyway. White feminists also alienated African-American women in 1984. Feminist theory, Bell Hooks offered a blistering indictment of the feminist mystique, that was for Dan's, and did not discuss who would call it, called in to take care of children and maintain homes, that more women like her were freed from their house labor, Hooks wrote. Fidan did not understand African women, Pacific needs. They use the word black here. And here we go again. And this is the one that I worked in, the remaining room for coalition building in 1974. Joan Little, remember her? African-American woman was tried for murder in killing a white prison guard. Little had killed him while defending herself against a sexual assault. White anti-rapist feminist Susan Brownmeyer and activist Angela Davis, who is defending herself, and a number of other civil and women activists, black and white, and men and women, took up the Joan Little's case. And when the jury acquitted Little, it was a victory for all. Remember Joan Little? And over the past month, numerous women have articulated concerns about the lack of participation, exclusion, and transphobia within the women's movement. Well, those are sort of smaller things than what the movement is itself. That'll work itself out. These women concerns do not mean that the women's movement or the current feminist movement is imploding. It definitely does not. The march, like the women's movement of the 1840s, 1900s, and 1960, is contending with the fact that women are not all the same. Well, obviously, that is definitely out there, but it has brought more women to the Congress than ever before. The women's march will never represent all women all at once. Well, but what happens here, I'll rear back in the chair a little bit, is that the whole idea of a women's march and the idea of hundreds of thousands of women going back into their local cities, communities, etc., and working on the grassroots level, that's a very powerful statement to be made, and they have changed some of the themes so they can move forward with a program of liberation. And as we hear the word more liberation, where we have almost a million workers locked out, furloughed out, or whatever you want to call it, that in itself is very, very powerful. Then we have reactionaries. The March for Life said it is, this is nutty, is pro-science despite medical consensus favoring abortion access. These are lunatics. So we'll move along from there a minute. Republican lawmaker who yelled, "Go back to Puerto Rico," apologizes to a Latino colleague. Let's see, who is this moron? From Missouri, apologized for shouting, go back to, on the House floor, while Representative Cardenas was waiting to speak. Now, who is this idiot anyway here? Ian, evidently in political, Cardenas, born and raised in California. His character, Jason T. Smith. He admitted making a statement, apologized, some idiot. So you're going to have some of this around, sort of like the fellow that yelled at the then President Barack Obama. This is the kind of stuff that you have out there, but that's a little bit different from King and his various machinations that have been going on for years. And it's a little bit different when you're in the House of Representatives, like King and somebody that just makes a one-liner comment or something of that nature. But the politics will go on into 2020. You'll see all sorts of things. For the Women's March, one candidate, won't name any names here, as a potential one, was going to a funeral. Twitter King Booker out of Jersey, he had something else to go do. So in other words, you had all these characters out here that are figuring out other ways. I forget where Elizabeth Warren is. Maybe she'll go to one in Boston. Who knows? Or in Iowa. And in other words, all these characters are not to offend, quote unquote, any of these people are finding other places to hide out. Well, that, you know, that in itself is just one of the things that you get into in a political arena. And we'll be into much more of this, but to remind people that we are now a year out of any primary at any place. Let me just go to the sports here, and let me make sure of it. Yeah, we mentioned Woody Guthrie, and incidentally, Dr. King had what would have been his 90th birthday, and on Monday we will have the official U.S. holiday that Stevie Wonder so brilliantly brought forward with his song. That Dr. King's birthday is a national holiday now, and we'll celebrate it. We'll have special programming on a Sunday. So we had the Women's March at Dr. King's holiday. A lot of things going on in the next 2 days out to Los Angeles before we forget about the teacher strike. It goes on, and that is especially tough for parents. This is from the Los Angeles Times. The strike raises safety concerns for parents whom children have serious disabilities. So, in other words, they are working on it as far as negotiations. Why can't Trump make a deal? No one trusts him anymore. Well, this is something from the LA Times here. I'm just looking at some headlines. Trump reportedly told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. His own attorney general picked testified that's a crime. Oh well. In California, they are offering unemployment benefits to TSA workers, defying the Trump administration. So one of the things going on here. So let's do the sports. We'll start with college basketball. That would be from the 17th last night or Thursday night. The Citadel, we don't hear much of them, and Stanford 80-77. UTSA and Middle Tennessee. We only usually hear Middle Tennessee in March Madness. 89-86. South Missouri State, I think it is, and Moorhead State, 73-69. Michigan State in Nebraska, 70 for Michigan State, another powerhouse, used to be. Ranked number 6, looks like here, and they were Nebraska 64. UTEP and UAB, 76, UAB 263. IUPI, whomever they are, was 76, and Green Bay 70. Murray State, we get them in March Madness, 83-61 over Eastern Illinois. Florida International and Western Kentucky, a 1-pointer there. Florida International 77-76. There's some very good games on the college level. Georgia State and South Alabama, it was Georgia State 69-66, Little Rock and Texas State. Texas State 82-62, Arkansas State and UT Arlington, University of Texas at Arlington, they were 68-59. Mercer and Chattanooga, the hometown of Professor Reed, 76-70. Omaha and Western Illinois was Omaha 80-71. Well, a lot of games going on here. South Dakota and Oral Roberts 77-74. UIC and Milwaukee 81-69. Sacramento State and Northern Arizona, 2-point game there with Sacramento State. Sacramento State, 66-64. Portland State and Southern Utah, 83-69. And in overtime, Belmont and Jacksonville State, 91-80. Loyola Marymount.